This is The Pulse. I'm Bharati Jagdish. No price hikes for this year's World Cup subscriptions. While many are celebrating, others say it's still too expensive. Joining me to talk about this today, Chief Editor of Digital News, Jamie Ho, and Deputy Editor at the Digital News Desk, Ramesh William, both, of course, from Channel News Asia. Now, for the first time, the three local broadcasters, MediaCorp, Singtel and StarHub, are collaborating to bring this year's World Cup coverage to Singapore. The standalone World Cup package, it's $94.16 till May 22nd. It will rise to $112.35 thereafter. Mustn't forget, though, MediaCorp 2 will be broadcasting 9 free-to-air matches on Octo. This is 5 more than in previous years. Now, some are asking, why didn't all this happen during the last one? Ramesh, can you step in here?
Yeah, so the last one was was acquired by Singtel for about 20, 25, 26 million. And they decided to go it alone. And StarHub then got into an agreement to cross-carry that. For this edition, the two telcos and MediaCorp decided to put in a joint bid for roughly around the same price. They've been successful, and that has then afforded consumers a slightly better deal than what was offered in the previous World Cup. More free-to-air games, the option of watching it on Toggle for, if you do the math slightly, for a slightly smaller sum, the opportunity to watch it on the over-the-top platforms as well. So it's a better deal. It's better for the consumer, but only just slightly better.
I was looking at some of the comments that our readers have been leaving online. And in response to this report, many actually said, oh, it's still so expensive, you know. And of course, they were comparing the prices we pay here to the prices others in the region might pay. Yep. And of course, there is that differential. And I think that it's very clear that because of where we are economically and our standing, we're going to have to generally pay more for rights to begin with, right, Jamie?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't help, of course, that there is a general degree of opacity. No one really knows how FIFA deals with individual jurisdictions and sets the price there and how the negotiations go. So while you may say, yes, certain countries may do it for much less, certain countries may do it for free, but it's all still very opaque as to how FIFA has done this. And of course, different jurisdictions will have different sort of paradigms under which they work, you know what I mean, in terms of governments and broadcasters who really have over time committed to doing this for free. But I think we see that the price has already been set over time, and I think it's a bit unrealistic to expect prices to fall. What may be more realistic is that over time, the model in which World Cup can be watched by individuals may change, hopefully will change, but I don't think these package prices, it's realistic to expect them to go down from one World Cup to another.
Well, you make sense in the sense that I think a lot of people understand it is unrealistic to expect prices to fall for the rights, if we're just talking about that per se. But it is also unrealistic or unsustainable, I should say, to have prices go up every year. I mean, there will be a breaking point, won't there, Ramesh?
Sure.
People will say, forget it, you know, I don't want to do this.
People will do that if it keeps going up, and FIFA are mindful of that. The telcos are mindful of that. Pay TV operators around the world are also aware of that. So there's this dance that they all have to play to ensure that they don't reach that tipping point and then fall off the cliff. I think the positive aspect about this whole thing from a local consumer and a football fan's point of view is that it didn't really go up at all.
Mm.
So I think that's very good. I think as recently as a month or two ago, there were all these analysts coming out, and these are pretty astute observers of how these rights are sort of dished out. They were saying it would, you know, you would be looking at something in the price range of $130, $150.
Mm. In fact, so, I think some of them noted that on average, the prices now are 90% higher than previous World Cup packages.
Sure, I mean,
across the board. I mean, we're talking about globally here.
Yeah, globally. Yeah. So Singapore is not the only country that's faced or is facing this issue. I think right across, ever since the 2002 World Cup, you've seen more and more private pay TV players come in, bid for the rights, and then divvy it up amongst their competitors, maybe even like the free-to-air operators. So they are gaining an increasing foothold in getting the World Cup rights. And it's something FIFA doesn't mind because FIFA knows that if these rights are going to commercial entities, then they're going to get more money. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And FIFA pays all its bills from the World Cup. The money that they make from the World Cup, 90% of their operating revenue comes from a tournament that's held every 4 years.
Yeah.
So everything from women's football to the Women's World Cup to junior tournaments to all these programs that they have for the various national associations, all that money comes from the World Cup and they have to make as much money from it. And the more they can charge, they will do so.
Exactly. Yeah. So the more they can charge, they will do so. But at some point, they'll have to say, okay, we can't charge more anymore, right?
I think they too
will have to come to terms with that.
It comes to the point also as is also how you charge, right? You can charge more, for example, but how this gets translated to consumers is another matter as well. And I've always wondered, and this goes back to a peeve that I've had with EPL coverage as well, where again, people are usually complain about how much more expensive sports packages are going to be, how much EPL squeezes out of everybody as well. And I've got to the stage where I always wondered why, especially with digital and people watching more and more online, the payment models can't change. And I think if people were to be a bit more creative in trying to absorb or at least distribute costs a little bit more equitably, I think there might be some room in the future where people consider more micropayments, where people have the ability to pay for specific matches that they want to, and they don't have to pay that lump sum $100
for the entire package.
For the entire package or the entire EPL season. Because, give you an example, for an EPL season, I know I'm not going to watch every game. I know I'm not going to watch every football team, and I may just want to watch my favorite team. And that, therefore, it's a maximum of, let's say, 38 games that I want to watch. And if it's at 2 a.m., I won't watch it. So I may watch a maximum of 18 games, for example. And how much am I willing to pay? I'm not going to pay that entire package as well. But if you have the option to allow this guy, okay, for your 18 games that you want to watch, you pay $5 per game, you pay however much. And I think that is a way in which you can bring back the viewers.
But of course, this is up to the local telcos and how they decide
How they decide to tier their subscriptions and design their models and things like that.
They better start looking into this because one thing I noticed also is that a lot of people said, yeah, you know, I'll just go online, watch it, you know, for free. Even though there's a lag time and all of those other disadvantages, that's what I'll do. More and more options are opening up, whether legal or illegal options. As long as people can do it, they will. So the telcos actually stand to lose if they don't do something quick. Not this year, but like, you know, in 4 years.
I think they have to. I mean, they've already cottoned on to the fact that, you know, that people are seeking alternative sources for watching matches and things like that. So this isn't a new problem. It's been there the last two World Cups. People finding watching pirated
streams.
So it's been, 8 years? Nothing's been done for us to assume that they may fix these things. It's quite fanciful, really.
Well, I guess they're saying, okay, just be grateful you don't have to pay more this year than you did the last time.
I think so. I think that's how the spin is, right?
People are buying it or not is the big question. No?
Well, whatever it is, I'm quite glad that, you know, there are enough free games to watch as well.
Let's talk about those nine this year.
Right? Yeah, I mean, usually we've sort of come to associate it that we will get the four games free. And to increase it to nine now, and you see the choices of the games that the extra five games that we've gotten besides the opening, closing, and the semi-finals.
Are these the best ones?
Of course, it's not the best ones.
To telecast free? Yeah.
But it is, I think they chose a very specific kickoff time, right? Yeah. So those kickoff times are actually quite friendly to Singaporean viewers here. Very decent, watchable times for a mass audience who just want to catch a bit of the action. And I think some of them are quite good, quite interesting. It may not be a top-notch games, but I think you got Germany against South Korea one evening. You got one England game. You got one France game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's quite decent and a good effort.
And I think having those free games early on in the tournament, right in the first week, I think that offers sort of a tasting menu to the viewers. And they can, I mean, if they feel that, hey, you know, this is something I want to watch or I want to watch more of this, there, you know, I can cough up if I want to.
Again, it comes to another different, more creative model in which you can get people to pay, right? I mean, we still are stuck in this model where you have, okay, if you have an early bird sign up, is this. If you sign up the regular one, is this. But you know, if you ask me, why can't you have a separate model for someone who will just say, hey, by the way, I just want to watch from the quarterfinals onwards, as I say, different pricing models where you get people to exercise a little bit more freedom. And I think people will pay once you give them the option.
Even if it's paying more per match, even if it means that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because ultimately, it will still be less than paying for the entire package and not watching all 64 games.
Right.
So even if you get that 64 match, $114 package, what are you going to watch? Probably 10 to 20, realistically. If you're a football fan, even half is pretty decent. So if you have something like a 10-game pass or a 12-game pass for $30, $40, you're going to get quite a lot of people interested in it. And whether it's via cable TV or online, you're definitely going to get people come on board.
The thing is, I've also seen some online say that the government should step in here and make sure that everything is free to air. All matches are free to air, as is the case in some other countries in the region. Why is that not an option in Singapore, Jamie?
Yes, in certain jurisdictions, you do see that, right? Certain governments come in and people assume that it is free. So, for example, the BBC does it, right? But people forget that the BBC is funded as well. And BBC ultimately is funded by people's TV license fees, right?
Same thing here. If the government steps in, it'll be taxpayers' money.
Exactly.
That's used.
So why not?
Well, as long as they don't have to take it out from their own pockets
so I think
people
have to ask, therefore. Let's just do a sort of mental exercise here, right? So let's say you say that, okay, the government will pay for it, inverted commas government, but we all know it comes from taxpayers. So is every single Singaporean taxpayer, willing to pay, let's just say $1 to fund the viewing habits of the World Cup viewers who are not going to be every single Singaporean taxpayer, right? Mm.
Of course, if we talk about the Olympics where Joseph Schooling might win the gold medal, that's a different story. We had a similar debate, I think, over whether that would have been
broadcast. So even then, that was secured last minute as well. So there was a possibility of not watching Schooling win it live.
Exactly. But that was a different proposition altogether.
Exactly.
That was different.
I would argue that one was probably a larger national imperative, right? Here, maybe less so. I mean, yes, football is a national sport for many people, and people do feel that it should be provided for as a public good, but I think it is arguable. I don't think we should treat the World Cup as a public good.
What do you think, Ramesh? Really? Would you agree with Jamie's standpoint here? Football is not a public good. World Cup, anyway, is not a public good.
Not in the Singapore context, no. Yeah. I think we don't have a team. I don't think we'll have a team anywhere near this competition.
Unfortunately.
You can expand all the World you can expand the World Cup as much as you want, but on current form, unfortunately, we're not going to get anywhere near for many, many more editions. So it's something nice to have, but is it a public good? I don't think so. If you're looking to the government to foot the $25 million, that's a bit of an ask.
That being said, I think there have been efforts to bring the games to Singaporeans as well. So whether it's the Euro, European Championships, so the community centres also try to do some viewings. People do go around to watch. So I wouldn't say that it's completely inaccessible as well, right? I think it generally, if you are a fan, but you are not in the position to want to pay the $100, I think you still have options. And these options are free quite often.
Okay, so going forward, while we talked about, say, more creative packages, more creatively configured packages from the various providers, can we expect at least more free games? What do you guys think? Is this something that we should be working towards at least?
I think I'm quite hopeful that there would be more free games come 2022 in Qatar. I think the big takeaway from what's happened this year is pretty much progress. You've got more free games.
More options in terms of subscribe.
Exactly. More options. You can watch it on Toggle. You can watch it on Okto. And you can watch it also on the two telcos that show it. And also, the deal to secure this happened a lot earlier rather than the last minute. You know, the last two editions were cutting it fine. So this time it's happened a lot earlier, almost 2 months before kickoff. And I think that's progress. And if you were then to extrapolate into the future and see whether we're going to get more free games 2022, which is pretty much an Asian World Cup in Qatar. I think that's a possibility.
Let's hope there's no backsliding, though, because if prices do go up for the rights in general, and the telcos and the providers in general don't get too creative, don't get any more creative in terms of packaging, you might just end up having to pay more.
I don't really think so. I think once you set a sort of a bar, I think what Ramesh mentioned too in terms of how early these things were sort of confirmed this year, I think it was very, very, it's a good move because it gives people the time to decide what they want to do. So, for example, even if you don't have a Singtel or a StarHub set-top box, you do have the option now of subscribing via Toggle, for example, and you do have the time to make that decision to wait for people to come up as well. So whether recently it was Safra or McDonald's, so people have time to see how the corporates are reacting, people have time to see what options are available to them, then you can decide at some point in time. So once you have created this sort of consistency and transparency for consumers, I think it's very hard and nobody will want to backslide from that, both in terms of price as well as in terms of how transparent and how quickly they've come to the decision.
Well, we have no skin in the game, but clearly a lot of Singaporeans feel very strongly about this. No one likes to feel like they're being fleeced. So,
this particular case, I think let's just be a little bit grateful that prices haven't gone up. Right. So yes, it is not cheap, but at the same time, I think compared to many other jurisdictions who may have had to pay a little bit more, I think we are not bad situation.
Thanks very much, both of you, for joining me today. Jamie Ho, Chief Editor of Digital News, and Ramesh William, Deputy Editor at the Digital News Desk at Channel News Asia. You've been listening to The Pulse. Thanks for joining us.